Two Justice Department prosecutors were briefly suspended for withholding evidence. That was after the 2008 corruption trial of then-Senator Ted Stevens. Now they've won their appeals over a technicality in how Justice handled their case in the first place. According to the Merit Systems Protection Board, Justice violated its own procedures in punishing the pair. For more on this case, we turn to Lynn Burnaby. She's a partner at the law firm Burnaby & Wachtell and has represented many federal employees in lots of different cases. Lynn, this one seems to put aside what actually happened in terms of the merits of what they did or the lack of merit in what they did and focused on procedures. Is this something the MSPB does a lot?
Actually, it's a very unusual case because the MSPB, in a great majority of cases, affirms whatever the agency does. I think what happened here was that they examined in more detail the Department of Justice internal disciplinary process and what it saw it didn't like. For example, I have a little experience with this particular unit, the Professional Misconduct Review Board, review unit, and it's a very political unit. I think what you have here is sort of a perfect storm between a very public, embarrassing instance of misconduct by the Justice Department, not necessarily just these two lawyers, but by the Justice Department, and instead of really doing a full examination, as I think they should have done, I think this unit thought it would be easier to blame these two lawyers. I think that's what you have here. I don't know the details, but I know that in the Stevens case, it was a very high-profile prosecution, and it wouldn't have been these two lawyers that messed up. It wouldn't have been just them alone.
Because the revelation that they did withhold the evidence resulted in the Attorney General, Eric Holder, asking the judge to set aside the conviction. Now, it was a little bit too late because then Senator Stevens then lost. He'd lost his election, then he was killed. And people say that that had he not been convicted and had been reelected, it might have changed whether the Affordable Care Act actually became law. So a lot of dominoes here that are purported to might have happened.
Yes, and I think these issues of prosecutorial misconduct are very serious. I'm not discounting them. I think I'm advocating that there should be a more thorough investigation of who was responsible, because this case was directed at the highest levels of the Justice Department. It wasn't just these two lawyers that did it. So I think what MSPB found was a sort of misuse of the internal disciplinary system in order to blame things on them when perhaps others were at fault.
And so, I mean, I guess maybe in a larger sense, this is a case that kind of feeds some people's perception that the government can't discipline itself.
I think it would be, it might be a mistake to see it that way. I think there definitely are problems. This should have never occurred, and it certainly should never have occurred in such a high-profile case where so many, as you point out, so many political issues were at stake. However, just focusing on these two individuals and should they have been treated like this, I think the answer is no. I think the real problem, and probably if the MSPB had been a little bit braver, they would have said this, is they have to look at this unit of the Justice Department and why can't it do its job right? Because when you do get these instances of prosecutorial misconduct, something should be done, but it should be done for everybody, including all the higher-ups in justice who might have been involved.
Yeah, the procedure in this unit, PMRU, is to have a staff attorney look at this and recommend what should happen. And I guess, as my reading of the case is, the staff attorney said, I don't see any reason for further punishment of these prosecutors, but then the head of the PMRU, and perhaps this is where the political pressure was coming in, jumped in and appointed himself to do the job that the staff attorney did, but not to the chief's liking. And so the chief caused a different outcome.
Exactly. And the staff attorney, you have to realize, did a very thorough job. I haven't read it, but he did an 80-page memorandum. He said, very specifically why he would not recommend this. He made different findings, and he would not recommend this discipline. And the chief just sort of, overruled it and wrote his own. And what that does to the system, practically speaking, is it's like if you have a jury in a civil case, the jury or in a criminal case, it's as though the judge said, well, because this the chief of the unit has the opportunity to reject what the supervising line attorney said. So it's just as if a judge in a case just said, I don't like what the jury said, without any reason given, and said, I'm going to reach my own decision. And that's what they said. They said, you know, this is an important procedure. It's important for the lawyers. And my personal feeling is that it's very important for the integrity of the Justice Department that it be able to police itself. And I suspect what happened here is they blamed the two line attorneys who probably had some fault, but they didn't blame the higher ups who also had some fault.
And so when this happens, and suppose they had followed procedure, and the head of the Professional Misconduct Review Unit had let the thing play out the way the staff attorney would have had it play out, can an agency higher up in that case reverse what something like a PMRU does and say, you know what, I don't think you quite got it right. I think these people did something wrong and should face the suspension. Is that something that can happen in an agency?
Yeah. I mean, what should have happened here is the reviewing attorney would have made his determination that the discipline wasn't warranted. The head of the unit could still have come to the same conclusion. It's just that the Merit Systems Protection Board would have had a fuller record at that point to decide the issue, and they didn't really in this instance. That's why they went back with the procedural error. I believe that they can still go back and suspend these individuals. That's not completely out of the cards. You just have to do it the right way.
And we should point out the suspensions didn't seem all that big a deal in terms of the repercussions and the size and publicity surrounding this case. It was only, I think, 15 days for one and 40 days for one of the others.
Yeah, I think it was actually, it might have, yes, exactly. But I think for a prosecutor, it's serious. For the individuals involved, it was quite serious because it may have repercussions with bars where they're licensed, and it may will have serious repercussions for their careers.
Yeah, because, I mean, the juries, I'm just looking at some of the older records on here, and the judge said that it was the worst case of prosecutorial misconduct he'd ever seen at that time.
Yes, and the interesting thing about the case is, I think, from an outside perspective, is why the judge didn't impose any sanction on the Justice Department and possibly on the attorneys, because he could have done that. He could have said, he could have gone further than he did. And he did appoint a prominent defense lawyer to look into it, who came to the conclusion there was prosecutorial misconduct. He could have gone further and himself imposed sanctions on the individual attorneys responsible.
So if you're Loretta Lynch, the presumed incoming attorney general, presuming she's confirmed, it looks like she probably will be if they ever get to hearings. What do you do to kind of clean up after this? Or do you do anything, just let it lie?
I think this is such a black eye on the Justice Department, in particular because it was a political case, that I think they should start from scratch, do a new internal investigation apart from the disciplinary system, start the disciplinary system, and see if others higher up in the Justice Department should have been included for discipline. This is a real black eye on the Department of Justice. It's not alone. There's been other instances in which this has occurred to the detriment of the prosecutions, and I think they really need to, you know, take a really honest look at what happened here, and anybody that was responsible, you know, punish them.
So perhaps Eric Holder did the right thing in going to the judge and having that whole thing thrown out. It was, in fact, as the judge said, it was as if it never happened. Not only was it there was no conviction in the first place, in effect, is what the judge said, but it sounds like perhaps Holder might have taken a couple steps further to clean up the department itself, as it were.
Well, yes, and you know, the sad part about these things, and I think it happened to some degree in the New Orleans prosecution, is that it's not that the prosecution should have never happened. I mean, if you look at it in an objective sense, but it's the Justice Department engaged in misconduct such that that's the only thing left for you, because anybody who's accused of any kind of crime deserves a fair trial. And so, you know, you may get situations, and I think that might have been what happened in New Orleans, where the prosecution's thrown out, but that doesn't mean people are innocent. All it means is the prosecutor couldn't act ethically in accordance with the law. And so what we get is sort of a draw. You know, the prosecution's thrown out, so someone who may have committed illegal acts is let go. And it's a black eye on our justice system.
All right. So any lessons learned for other federal managers and, say, assistants, department heads should follow on this one?
I think when these kind of things happen, and, no agency's perfect, but when these kind of, big cases happen, there's prosecutorial misconduct, they have to investigate from the top down, because these kind of things don't happen in isolation. It's not lower-level attorneys that go rogue. That's really not what happened. What happened here is, came from a higher level given the prominence of this prosecution. And, you just have to, my opinion, you have to investigate it and see who was at fault all the way up to wherever it leads.
Lynn Bernabe is a partner at the law firm Bernabe & Wachtell. Thanks so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you.